If all goes as planned for the organizers of the next event we'll hear about, the hills, or rather the streets, will be alive with the sound of music as more than 100 musical groups play live on porches across the Decatur neighborhood of Oakhurst on a Sunday afternoon in October. The event is called Porch Fest, and to its organizers, it's at least as much about building community as it is about hearing music in an unconventional setting. WABE's Kate Sweeney sat down with organizer Scott Doyen. She began by asking him exactly how Porch Fest will work.
On Sunday, October 18th, over 100 porches in Oakhurst will feature live music. This will be scheduled across 4 hours with an hour of music per porch, so roughly 25 to 30 simultaneous performances each hour. And neighbors and people from outside of Oakhurst and people from all through Atlanta are welcome to come and wander around, meet people, listen to music, take in as much or as little as you want.
So there'll be sort of this light cacophony in the air in Oakhurst that afternoon.
There will, but I hope it's more from people than from music. The chatter of human beings generates fewer complaints than the sound of amplified music. So I'd like to keep everything on the up and up as well.
What are some of the genres of music?
Just to give you some of the extremes, Decatur First United Methodist is sending their bell choir. And then we have a lot of Americana, quite a bit of stripped-down Appalachian music. We have some punk rock, some jazz, two choirs. And we also have right now four student bands from the local high school.
So from Decatur High School?
Mm-hmm.
Where did this idea come from?
Well, Porch Fest as an idea was born in Ithaca, New York, 8 years ago. It resulted from one neighborhood within Ithaca that had a lot of musicians. And it just occurred to all the musicians that who routinely played out on their porches that if they all did it roughly on the same afternoon, it would add up to a thing. And I have a friend and professional colleague who lives in Ithaca, and he told me about it. I think we were at a conference, and my immediate thought was how perfect it would be for Oakhurst based on the architecture, sort of a porch culture in Oakhurst, but also that Oakhurst was still at that point that it seemed like it would embrace that kind of thing that's rooted in the arts and rooted in kind of things on the funkier side and rooted in acts of self-expression.
One thing you told me earlier when we were discussing having you in was that the same DNA that makes a place good to trick-or-treat makes it good for a porch fest. Is Oakhurst a good place to trick-or-treat?
It's a great place to trick-or-treat. The houses all have a relationship with the street in terms of their architecture and their porches. And, you know, speaking solely from a kid's perspective, they're fairly dense, which means more candy per foot. And I mean, that's what it comes down to.
That's really interesting. You talk about, I'm not going to get us too far off, but I just find this to be really personally fascinating, this idea of a house having a personal relationship with the street. What do you mean by that?
More than anything, it's the face of the house. Essentially, the beauty of a porch is that it creates this kind of demilitarized zone between the street, which is public, and the interior of the house, which is private. And traditionally, a porch did a great job of receiving people, and it was a way where you could start to build levels of intimacy without having to choose between the black and white extremes of a fully public environment and a fully private environment.
Tell me about getting this event organized. When did you put the word out, and like what happened next?
After I had reached out to Angie with the Arts Alliance, and they had said, sure, let's do this, I said, okay, well, the more people who get involved, we're going to need some general principles. And probably the one that stuck the most is, as true as we can make it, no one spends money, no one makes money. Then when somebody says, hey, are you going to be having sponsors for this event? It's a very easy decision. No, because we don't have any need for that. No one's spending any money, nobody's making any money. So you have to apply some sort of a bit of a programmer's eye to the whole thing. And the reason for that is because once we announce the schedule, another one of the principles that we're kind of creating for this is there's no cavalry, all right? Once you get assigned your artist at your porch, say we have 100, then for 1 hour on October 18th, you were 1/100th of a festival organizer. It's your yard, your performance, your friends, your passersby. You just manage it for an hour.
Hmm. Other than it being simpler for the organizers, what is the advantage of that?
Well, the advantage is that it can be whatever you want it to be. Believe me, I come from a brand background, so I understand the value of a consistent experience. But when it comes to art, serendipity is where it's at. And that only happens if every single participant in the festival is empowered to do whatever they choose to do and do up their yard how they want, get their kids to sell lemonade. You know, I have a feeling how a lot of the porches will be, but what I'm really looking forward to is the ones I never saw coming, you know, where something happened between the artist and the porch host once they hook up and they have some ideas, and I'm just blown away and reminded that I love my neighborhood.
What do you hope to see happen that day?
I want to see what kind of expression emerges when people are essentially totally free to put themselves out there and express themselves how they want. So part of that is just the diversity of the music to be experienced that day, but a lot of it'll have to do with what people do with their yards and how they make those yards inviting. So that's one big thing. And then the other thing is that I hope it kind of transcends what people expect from a festival a little bit, and that those shared interactions and those people meeting and saying, oh, you're a block and a half down? I can't believe we've never met before, but now we have. You know, I hope that's not the end of it. I don't want to overstate the connection between an event like this and solving social problems. But especially when you're dealing with matters of race in a neighborhood, just the act of recognizing somebody can prevent so many problems in terms of just jumping to conclusions when you see someone walking down the street. Places that are connected are more able to weather adversity as a neighborhood and a community, and more able to solve shared problems than communities that aren't.
How many folks do you expect to attend?
A zillion. No, I really have no idea. When I first sat down with Angie from the Arts Alliance, we said, well, what would equal success this first year out? And we both said, well, Ithaca got 25. So if we could get 30, that would be fantastic. And we would call that a success.